Blog Talk Radio.
Football equipment such as bags, sleds,
what else we had out there? Tackling dummies, shoots, all that stuff. You know, you get that at Rogers Athletic Company. Where the good get better. I know that's my slogan for the Women's Football Camp and Conference, but I love it when you got equipment that you can use. And, DJ, I know you got your equipment. I saw it on Facebook. It ain't quite Rogers, but you know what? It's equipment. And I know how you feel when you got something that you can use and people can hit and tackle. It just makes practice so much safer. And actually, that's going to be part of my conversation tonight as well. I had a few questions or emails inquired for some new coaches in women's football. And I'll share some highlights on that. On that. If I got some coaches out there listening, please call in and you can talk about how you do it, you know. It's all good. But anyway, let's go ahead and get this football conversation started like we do. We always kick it off. And it's a deep kick. Anyway, so we talk nothing but deep thoughts and deep conversations about women's football here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. So we in quarter number one. Hey, y'all, the season is here. Let me tell you, the season is here. If you didn't know about the season and you ain't in the season is here. I think there's two, their games start in 2 weeks, opening season for IWFL, 3 weeks for the WFA. And, you know, we about to get rocking and rolling. And I know that the season is here because we just finished up a two-day football scrimmage here in Vegas. Again, any coaches can always call in and talk about, you know, what they've done and what they do. But, you know, since it's Coach Lee, so I'm going to tell you what I do. And feel free to call in. You got the number 347-826-7278 if you got something to add. But I got a chance to see what my rookies are all about. And this weekend we had the San Diego Sting, a new team in the WFA coming to town. And they got a team, y'all. Don't sleep on the Sting. Let me tell you, they got some players out there. It's going to take some time to gel. But don't think they just a bunch of women out there who think they playing football. They got some football players. You know, and everybody talks about having more than one team and in one city and all the other crap a doodle doo that, you know, people are screaming, you're diluting the neighborhood. You're diluting the team. They only got two girls on the team that ever played football before, and the other 26 or 27 girls that they had have never played before. So my theory is true. You know, if you start up in another part of town and you hit a different demo and you're doing it a different way and you're recruiting different players, you're going to come up with a team. Like I say, I envy my man Coach Bartley, who in the middle of a city that has four teams already, and how he was able to get a team. Not only 35 bodies out there, but about 28 of those 38 bodies were actual players. They just weren't bumps on the wall. And that's what I'm talking about with the San Diego Sting. They weren't bumps on the wall. They were actually some players. Yeah, they came out a little intimidated. Because it was their first time going against anybody, they came out a little timid for the first 30 plays of the scrimmage. But I think after the coach talked to them and they really found out what hitting was about, they got hit and they realized they can get up after getting hit. You know, they started to play. And like I said, I think they're gonna be a good team. Are they gonna win championship? No. What team that just started was gonna be a championship with 99% rookies? Not many, unless you played in the very first year of the very first league, would you feel that you would be a championship team. But for the amount of time that they had to put together and the amount of people that they had out there, let me tell you, they're going to be a team. They're going to be a team. And again, I would compare them to my team my very first year. I had numbers, but I didn't have as many athletes as they had on their team. They're young, they're quick, they're big, they're fast. They just don't have super speed. You know, I'm out there throwing out a scouting report or anything. But again, I just want people to realize that you can start a team and you can put together a team and it can be a good team. And I think the coach got some good things over there. And You know, like I said, I wish them luck. I don't play them during the regular season, which is fine. And that's part of the reason why we actually hosted them in a scrimmage game. Because, again, we don't want to play somebody that we're going to play at the, you know, during the season. That's just cock-a-doodle-doo, you know what I'm saying? We want some fresh blood that we can actually run some plays if we choose and want to, you know? So it went good. But, again, the season is here. And we actually filmed the actual scrimmage. But it's not a highlight film footage. We really just concentrate on tackle to tackle. We were actually behind the offense to use as a coaching tool for the player, for the lineman. You know, so it's not good highlights of once the running back got through the line and got, you know, over 5 to 7 yards, you know, we zoomed in, but we didn't focus in on, you know, how many yards people got. So normally you guys know me. I'm always throwing up videos and highlights of whatever we do. And but this is more of a coaching tool, so I doubt if I put it up, but I should, though. I'll probably put it up on the Women's Football Camp and Conference, again, as a coaching tool. But did you film your scrimmage or whatever preseason game or whatever? You know, I'm an advocate for you got to promote it, you guys. I'm tired of, you know, telling you guys this and saying this, but if people don't know about women's football by now, they're not going to know because you're not doing the things. You know, it's 3 weeks before the season. I'm on Facebook daily, and I seldom, and I got over 1,000 friends with the Showgirls, with my Showgirls account, and I seldom see teams on there promoting. I see the same four or five teams, and maybe the same 6 to 10 people off those teams. That's sick, yo. That's real sick, you know. And the season is here. Nobody knows about it. I don't understand. I do the show to help promote and push women's football across the board. But people want to stay secret about it. You know, if you stay secret about your game and about your team, then it will never succeed. Ever, ever, ever succeed. You know, you just can't send people to a website. You guys didn't learn from the year 1996 to 2002, when we had the dot-com boom. You know, everybody thought, oh, just throw your www.whatever.com out there, and everybody's going to come. Not true. Brick and mortar business. That's what people want. But anyway, I'm not off the topic. I was talking about the season is here. But the season is here, and people ain't promoting it. I don't understand. Leagues, I don't understand. It'd be a big fireworks jumping off on Facebook. If there's, 4,000 or 5,000 of us that's in this women's football game and we all got Facebook pages and we all got an average of, 100 friends minimum? You know what I'm saying? We all got 100 friends, you know? There's 5,000 of us out there that play women's football or that are involved in women's football at least. You know what I'm saying? We multiply that. There should be 500,000 people out there, which ain't nothing, that should be knowing about women's football. Yeah, I'm a numbers guy. You know, I'm a math guy. And I make sense type of guy. Again, that's if we just have 100 fans. Hell, if all of us got 500 fans, and it's 5,000 of us, you know, that's 2.5 million people that should be getting inundated with football games, women's football, spring football is here, tackle football is here, whatever. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir because it's the same listeners that listen to me every week. It's the same folks that listen to me every week, you know. We got to get on it. I don't understand the mentality of us pushing this sport. It ain't going to be pushed over the edge unless we do it. Nobody else is going to do it. But, again, the season is here. You know, we got to get it going on. I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? I'm blowing up Las Vegas right now. I got 6 weeks before our first home game, which I'm cool with. You know, we start season on April 10th on the road. The second game is on the road. This is the first time that we actually got a chance to set up you know, the Showgirls correctly, as I put it. Because every year, everybody wants to come to Vegas, and guess what? The first game of the season is always in Vegas for me. The last 4 years, I've always had hosted the first game. And what that does is it doesn't create interest for fans. I'd rather be on the road and go out there and do my damage, meaning go out and win. Now I got a story to tell when I come back home. We won a game. Matter of fact, our first home game, and we're 1-0, or we're 2-0. You know, that's a good league story. Your 1-0 Las Vegas Showgirls will be at home next week. Check them out. They won their game 35-14. That's a good lead story. So, again, I'm loving this. I mean, we're about to start pushing our season tickets. We're about to do all this at the end of this month. We are working. We had, a little over 300 people at the little scrimmage. We also hosted a football clinic prior to the scrimmage at the community center in the hood. Hey, we went in the hood to get it done. You know, we went in the suburbs. We went to the neighborhood. And a lot of folks were thankful. And actually, we got a lot more. We got some players that want to play for us now because they didn't know nothing about it. Again, we're like a traveling all-star team in our own city. You know, I try to do events all over. I try to host as many clinics and camps and scrimmage games everywhere. Matter of fact, we have an inter-squad scrimmage on the east side of town this Saturday coming up because we didn't have nobody who wanted to come and play us in the Casino Bowl. You know, like I said, I'll put you up. You just get here. I'll put you up. Just get here. Again, to create the excitement about women's football. Have an opportunity to play in front of about 1,500 to 2,000 fans of a men's football game. You know, we had a prelude before. But again, we had some people who just couldn't make it or didn't want to make it or didn't want to put in paperwork to play us or whatever. You know, hey, it's cock-a-doodle-doo, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's football season. I start talking smack, you know what I'm saying? Because, hey, I think we're the best, period, point blank. Go on Facebook and see me. I talk smack. I don't use curse words and stuff, but you know what? I was a talker when I played. You couldn't beat me. Matter of fact, my theme song was Biz Markie. Nobody beats the Biz. Take the Biz out, nobody beats the Fleet, because I was just that type of defensive back. You know what I'm saying? I talk smack. I dare you to throw the ball my way. I dare you to run my way. Ask my players. That's how I talk in practice. To get that intensity up. And we definitely have some intensity this weekend. But also, San Diego team, they saw some hidden. They felt some hidden. But you know what? They fought back. And then we finished up with another scrimmage again on Sunday against the Ventura Black Widows, which was an enlightening situation for us because they're an 8 team. And initially I wanted to, you know, hey, we'll add 3 players. I told them to set up the defense, which was basically a 34 defense, 3 linemen, 2 linebackers, 2 corners, and a safety out of 8. And I wanted to go 11, so we would add 2 outside linebackers in the strong safety. But coach was like, no. Newton was like, no, we want to go 8. So, you know, I said, let's go. It doesn't matter to me. I just want my girls to play. And it was mostly my rookies, again, because they had to earn their stripes and their stitches this weekend. You know, that was the incentive for this weekend. They've been having ball-headed helmets, as I call it, or plain helmets. No stickers, no stripes. Until they played in the scrimmage and they had to earn their stripes, you know, get in on the tackle, make a play, intercept, do whatever. And this was the game that they were able to, as well as Saturday, all of them earned their stripes. And like I said, as a coach, I'm proud of what I saw. And like I said, I can talk smack because I think we are the best. We're going to be the best. And I put it out there because that's just me. If you think you're the best, hey, let's line up. If we in the same league, let's line up. If we in the same division, let's line up. If we in the playoffs, let's line up. If we in championship game, guess what? Let's line up. That's what we want to do. Yeah, that's Coach Lee. It must be football season because I got my smack talking about to jump off. You know what I'm saying? I love smack talking because the season is here. The season is here. So, again, it's 2 weeks away for some teams, 3 weeks away for others, and 4 weeks away for others, whoever have buys and whatever. But you know what? Let's get on that AOB. Let's get on it and start promoting. Let's shake the world up a little bit. Let them know that women football players are about to hit the gridiron. And it's some exciting stuff out there. So, you know, with that, like I said, the season is here. Preseason is here. Hey, it's nothing like preseason. I'm kind of running into quarter number two with this topic, so don't worry about it. This is Coach Lee, four quarters of Coach Lee. I do this each and every Monday night. So, you know, sometimes I just start talking on a rant real quick. But because the season is here, I'm so excited. I can't even follow the clock at this point in time. But preseason definitely was a good, it so far has been good to us. We have had a couple of injuries, actually two injuries. We should be getting some results today or tomorrow on if they're sprains or ACL or MCL tears. I'm hoping for the best of this sprain. But it's freak accidents. And as you guys know, the biggest injury in women's football are knee injuries. And like I said, if you were at the camping conference, we discussed a few of the topics of reasoning why that the women have more frequent knee injuries than men. Again, it's body chemistry, body makeup, widen of the hips, narrowing of the knees, and the weight distribution. Most women carry their weight below the waist. Both men carry their waist right above the waist, the beard gut. But, you know, we got, again, I think playing preseason games is a lot better than actually practice against your own team. Because when you practice against your own team, and coaches, if you're out there, if you want to call in, please join in. But my thing is this. When you play against yourself, some players already know the habits of, or the weaknesses or the strengths of other players, and they take advantage of it. Some players ease up because, oh, my girl ain't going to hit me. You know, she's my teammate, and that's how we get hurt. But when you go against teams that you know, scrimmage against, you're intense. You're ready to play. You know, you get hurt 99% of the time when you take off or when you ease up in football. If you play full speed through the whistle, you might get a freak accident. But, you know, most players get hurt, again, in practice. I think I heard something on the line. Is that somebody on the line? I'm reaching out to you if that's you. I don't know who you are, but you know what? You're rocking four quarters of Coach Lee. I heard a little something. But anyway, hey, like I said, if people call in, they can join in anytime. They got something to say. You know, rock it, four quarters of Coach Lee. That's what we do here. You know? I'll wet my whistle real quick. Anyway, like I said, we rocking here four quarters of Coach Lee. We rocking four quarters of Coach Lee. If you call in, hey, make sure you press number one if you want to talk. Okay? Push pound number one if you're calling in if you want to talk. Okay? So, anyway, if you don't want to talk, don't push pound one. Just sit on there and listen to me talk. Word. Anyway, I was going with practice, you know. And actually, I can lead that into the same topic. I had a couple of coaches call me. And they were asking about our coaching practices and tactics because they're new to coaching. I'm working with four new coaches. And three new teams, brand new teams. And they want to know what type of pace that they're doing because they, again, I put a lot of things out on Facebook about, you know, hey, we just got in pads, you know, 2 weeks ago. And some players hit me up and say, Coach, we've been in pads since January. And, you know, which is good and which is bad. And I've had teams call me and say, Coach, we've been in pads since January and the girls are dropping like flies. What's wrong? I said, are they getting hurt? Or they quitting because it's not football, and they're like, some of both. My philosophy is, you know, got to get in shape, got to get stronger, and use equipment. Use equipment to tackle. I don't like tackle him live because they wind up getting hurt. You know, we don't try to go full speed. We do half speed, and we just do form tackling. You know, nice stuff, nice hit, bam, and wrap, drive, and then let go. Just because, again, to prevent injuries. I know there's some coaches out there that are like constant hitters. They want to hit 3 days out the week, you know, scrimmage and all that stuff. I'm like, no. These ladies ain't built for that type of practice as of yet. You know, it takes time and years to develop that. Only reason why is because they haven't played the sport that long. I'm trying to use reverse psychology here because, again, people say, well, if they haven't played long, wouldn't you want them hitting more so they can get used to it? And I'm like, yes and no. Like I said, we hit to a point, but we don't take them down to the ground. I can just describe one of the injuries that took place at our practice. We went live a couple of plays, everything went good. One of my players was a defensive player who also wanted to play running back. Now, she's been taught how to hit somebody, but she had not been taught how to protect herself. And you think, it's human nature that it's natural that if something's coming to you, you're going to ball up or you're going to, you know, do something to protect yourself. Well, guess what happened? The young lady was running the sweep, and my middle linebacker just honed in on her on the sweep and basically just went right through her as though she was like she was paper. But she thought that she was going to dip her shoulder like a running back should do and didn't. And I think her foot was still planting the ground. She hyperextended her knee. And that's why I think it's an MCL sprain / tear because of the back of the knee is swollen, and not the sides. Sides would be an ACL. I'm not a doctor, but you know, for those who know, correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, you know, it's hard teaching how to protect yourself because again, just human nature. You think that people know how to protect themselves. Like when you had a baseball game and the ball goes over the fence. And everybody say, heads up. What do people first do? They don't look up. They just put their hands over their head to cover. You know, that's just natural instinct. The same thing if somebody's running to me to try to tackle me, I'm going to try to protect myself. But, again, as my coaching philosophy has been, I'd rather have you get hurt in the game than get hurt in practice. So that's why I lined up with Rogers Athletic Company. Got them behind the women's football camp and conference to provide a lot of this equipment, the bags, tackling dummies, sleds, chutes, because it's all about fundamentals. It's all about fundamentals. And that's one thing that I definitely teach. And like I said, in the scrimmages, we played against teams that were rookies, but my rookies tend to have an upper level just because we focus so much on fundamentals and not just running plays and just hitting each other. You know? So, again, thinking that that's my philosophy, it might not be everybody's, but, again, it's good for you to hear, you know, what a coach is thinking. And you know, and we're still physical because we coach physical tackling on the bags. Again, we want to keep it safe. And, you know, it ain't like you ladies out there getting paid for this. You know, we want you to get up in the morning and go to work because you got to make a living. You know, a lot of you guys are you know, head of the household or whatever, you know. This is all in fun, but it got to be safe. And this is where I think, you know, I've seen some of the coaches don't realize. They might call it whimpering out or being soft, but you got to understand, you know, if that was you going through that, you want to be able to get up in the morning. So, again, we don't teach no illegal techniques. You know, I think in all leagues there's no chop blocking, if I'm not mistaken. If there is, you know, I think all the coaches, we just eliminate that because we're not trying to hurt anybody. And, you know, and the right way to do chop blocking, and there's always the wrong way. You know, the wrong way is to take somebody's knees out. The right way is to, you know, hit them in the hips between the on the thigh instead of at the knee. So, again, different philosophies for everybody. But the fact is, if you worked a lot of fundamentals, you definitely will see that in your scrimmage. If you see a team that worked nothing but plays against air, you'll definitely see that in scrimmages because quarterback won't know, you know, never seen anybody in front of him. Lineman never hiked the ball and had somebody in front of him. You know, lineman just went and hit bags that stood still. And they're taking wrong steps, stepping forward. So, you know, my philosophy is this, step to the plate, but to the hole. That's what I tell the linemen all the time. Step to the plate, but to the hole. That's a good slogan that we live by as a coaching staff and as players, to keep it simple. Keep it simple. Now we're talking about staying low. You know, that's some of the things that I've checked out on the film over the weekend, and that we'll be emphasizing. We have our first film session on Tuesday night, which was a weightlifting night for us. We'll lift weights for an hour, our core lifts. Then we'll go in and watch maybe 45 minutes of film from the scrimmage at the team. They would hear me get on them, per se, on what they're doing right and wrong. I'm a component of correcting. I like to correct you. I don't yell at you. I like to correct you and show you again and again and again the right way and the wrong way. Okay? So, again, that's my philosophy. Again, other coaches have different philosophies. There's some coaches out there that don't even show film. There's some coaches that don't even talk to the players about it. Again, they're just play callers and playmakers. But, again, if you're going to be a good team, and this is for the players, it's for the coaches and everybody. If you're going to be a good team, you got to develop your fundamentals. You got to develop your fundamentals. And that's one thing that I saw. Once I endeavored into women's football, I said, it got to be a good product, but you can tell they're not fundamentally sound. Once you ladies get your fundamentals together and you don't have to think about what you have to do, you're going to be a beast out there. You're going to be that good aggressive football player out there. You know, you are. But you got to believe in the fact that you need fundamentals and not just sitting up there hitting and running plays. Same thing with the coaches. You got to develop basic fundamentals. And then once you get the fundamentals down, then you can start scheming. And then your scheming can become play calling and all those other good things that take place. You know, again, I'm still learning each and every day, but I'm just passing the word. I'm just the messenger of all these camps and clinics and coaches that I've been played under, coach with, and all those other good things. You know, I didn't realize how important, when I was in college playing for Hall of Fame George Allen and Willie Brown, really meant at the time. I was young. And I'm like, whatever. But as I got more into, after George Allen passed away, for those who don't know who George Allen is, he's a famous Los Angeles Rams coach, also Washington Redskins coach. Never won the Super Bowl, but was a great fundamental coach, a great special teams coach. And believe it or not, I've taken some of his sayings and some of his philosophy. Because, again, I kept all my playbook and kept all the chop talk notes and all that other stuff. And now I'm bringing it forward and I'm passing it on. I'm like, man, I feel like George Allen all over again. But we were fundamentally sound as a team with him. And we had a winning record with him. And that's what I'm passing on to all you guys, is the fact that fundamentals is the key. I would take a fundamentally developed team than a bunch of athletes any day. Because athletes are going to do what's natural. And they might break a play or two. But a fundamentally developed team is going to know how to block. They're going to know how to run. They're going to know how to catch. They're going to know how to tackle. They're going to know how to blitz. They're going to know how to backpedal. They're going to know how to get the ball at the highest point. They're going to know those things. Yeah, you might have a freak of nature at wide receiver and whatever, but trust me, a good fundamental defense of back will stick a phenomenal athlete at wide receiver who don't know nothing. If all they can do is run a streak every time, then hey, you might beat me. But how often are you going to complete a bomb? That's the lowest percentage pass play in all passing. Is the bomb. So again, work on it. As a coach, again, fundamentals, I'm going to come back to that. Players, fundamental, 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 and go out and learn the game of football. Go out and learn the game of football. You know, and it's funny, when I say that, I got an email back probably about a week ago because somebody was like, Coach Lee, do you know that there's a partnership between the offense and offensive defensive camp with the IWFL? I said, yeah, no big deal. I said, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. If somebody wants to go spend their money and learn how to play football, it don't matter where they're learning at. And that's the point that I've been trying to prove since day one. It don't matter if you come to the women's football camp and conference. If you want to go to another camp, it doesn't matter. My whole objective is to get you off your butt and go out there and learn the fundamentals of football. But once you turn on the website and try to find something to go learn, guess what? It wasn't nothing there. It wasn't nothing there for women's football. So again, I just feel a gap. I feel a void that's out there. I see a problem and I go fix it. You know, am I jealous? No, I ain't got to be jealous. Why? I'm kind of envious. It's kind of feel funny. Because it lets me know that I'm on the right track. I know what I'm talking about. You know? If you can afford to go to the camp, then that's fine. Because trust me, the offensive and defensive camp is an arm and a leg. If you send your kid there, $650 to go. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. You know, to spend $150 is nothing in comparison to what others have to pay to play or to participate in camps. Yeah, I'm doing a selfish self-plug, but again, I address issues for real. You know, I'm not Tiger Woods. I'm not trying to hide behind no PR person. You know? If people ask me a question, I am straightforward and honest about it. I am. But I'm flattered that what I've seen, I saw 3 years ago, is trying to be developed now. No different than playing international. It's no different. I saw that 2 years ago. And now it's opportunities out there. I think there's, what, 2 or 3, 4 opportunities for women to go play international ball. It's good. I don't think you should have restrictions on where you can play. Again, once you finish your season, you're free to do whatever you want. That's my argument. If you choose to pick an all-star team or wherever to go improve your game or camp, or it all ties up in the same thing. We all adults. That's why we're 18 and over. We can make those decisions to benefit ourselves. That's my whole argument out there. Don't take my freedom of speech and my freedom of doing what I need to do to get better so I can improve away because of my affiliation or because I play on your team that I pay to play on or I play in your league that I pay to play in. That's my argument. It's not my argument about camps and all this other stuff. It's no different than the West Coast round robin. Again, something that I've been pushing since I started in women's football 5 years ago that I wanted to do with other league teams at the time we were in WPFL because we didn't have a restriction. I didn't want to play the teams in the WPFL because I was going to play them during the season, so it didn't make any season, no sense to me. It didn't. Then when I did do it, it was paid for. You know, again, flattered is what I am, not jealous. I'm just flattered. Because, again, it proves the point. I know what I'm talking about. That's why you rock your 4 quarters with Coach Lee. That's why you listen to 4 quarters with Coach Lee. Because, you know, this brother knows what he's talking about. You might not like it. You might not agree. That's why you can always call in 347-826-7278. We ain't got to debate about it. But if you feel different, then call on in. Press pound one, booyah, you in. No biggie. Or you can just listen in. Coach Lee full of. Yeah, I am sometimes. But you know what? I speak my mind, I speak the truth. That's how it goes down. So when it comes to learning football, you know, it's great. You know, another question regarding that, hey, they talk about the insurance situation. Yeah, WFA hooked up with the insurance company. Yeah, the IWFL got the same. It doesn't matter. If it's all for the betterment of women's football, guess what? It's all good. WFA is flattered to open the doors for everybody in women's football. It's flattering. It's flattering. You know? It just is. So there's no jealousy here, you guys. You know, if you ever want to ask me on my show through email, through phone call, I always give out my personal phone number. It's no big deal. It's 702-764-8878. I'm flattered. Understand that. I say it one more time. I am flattered that the things that I have created or saw the gap in women's football are being created. I still think I'm the best. That's just my attitude. My mama raised me that way. You're the best at everything you do. When you're in math class, you're the best. When you're doing spelling class or reading class, you're the best. When you're on the football field, you're the best, son. Mom and dad put that in me. They put that in me until it's proven that I'm not. And if I lose, then guess what? I come back with more. That's just me, the fire, the desire being out there. I hate to lose. It eats me up. I can't sleep at night. I toss and turn. I'm watching that film. Why did we lose? I'm still watching the St. Louis Slam film. Why? Because I want to know every reason why we lost that game so that I can turn that into a win the next time. That's part of being a coach. Like I tell you, I put that, instill that in my kids. I don't lose in checkers. I don't lose in Candyland. I don't lose in Monopoly. I don't lose in Wii Bowling. You got to earn it. And that's what I teach my kids. That's what I teach my players. That's what I teach my coaches. You might not like it, but that's what I do. Anyway, time is flying. I didn't realize time was flying. I just got off the subject here and started talking from my heart, you know, because that's what I do. Well, Portland Coach Lee, this is what it's all about. I don't have no preset super agenda, you know, itemized all the way down. You know, I'm not Tiger Woods with the pre-written statement of what took place. No, I got down a few ideas, and I ad-lib because, again, I speak from the heart when I do this. I have an agenda in front of me, but I don't have item A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, you know. No, no. I just get my four topics, and I speak on it, and I talk about it. All right? So, you know what? Let's just jump in. I'm not even going to worry about what quarter we in, because I think we almost round off to the last quarter, to be honest. But, you know, again, another emotional type of topic. You know, funny things. Funny things about teams. You know, I think I put something out on the name board probably about 6 months ago, dealing with how teams ended the season last year, how some teams split up, some teams had to combine to finish out the season, how Money Wolves was hurting, how sponsorship is really not there. And I honestly put out a question talking about, you know, what teams will not be back in 2010? And again, I don't think as women organizations or as organizations, I'm not going to say women because there's men involved in this as well, but as organizations that we should be as quiet as we are and hush-hush because we feel the embarrassment of a team that might have to shut down or have to join another team. You know, we keep them up on our websites so that it looks like we have more numbers than what we actually have. And in my honest opinion is, show what's under the sheet. Show me what you got. Show me what you're working with. The reason why is because you don't want to fool people into thinking that you got X amount. And then all of a sudden, the week of, you got another number. But you knew 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And the reason why I bring the topic up, because it's funny. Because if you go on all three of the league websites, there's a team out there called the Detroit Demolition, for those who don't know. And it was funny that at one point in time last week, the Detroit Demolition We're on all three league websites. All three. Now, hey, like I said, I'm not behind the scenes. I don't try to get behind the scenes. You know, and people try to get things started on the Ning board about, you know, Rumorville and all this other stuff. My thing is, you nip Rumorville in the butt right away. Right away. That way you put it out on the table and it's out there. You know, I always use me as an example. Some people say, Coach Lee, I heard that you're not going to have a team next year. I said, I don't know where you heard that from. We're going to have a Las Vegas Showgirls. Is it going to be the same players? I doubt it. Because some of the players decided they wanted to start a team. That's fine with me. If you feel you can do it better, then do it better. But as you can see, they're not here. They didn't realize how much work behind the scenes it is to have a team. It's not just get the girls together, go line up at a park, and let's practice. It's a lot more than that. You know, but everybody tries to hold on to something that they don't have. My thing is, if you don't want to be here, then see ya. Peace. You know, if you're having trouble in one league and you decide to join another league, and I've seen some shady stuff over my 5 years. I've been in a meeting with a team, and they might know who they are when I speak on it. I ain't got to put them on blast. But I sat in a meeting with that representative in that meeting. I was on my web, I was on the computer during the session, you know, just browsing the internet, and saw that same team made an announcement that they were going to be in XYZ League while they sit in the meeting with us. I thought that was some bull crap. You know, if you're not happy where you are, just tell people you're not happy and move on. Don't just, see, that's the shady part of the game that I've seen. I've been up front with everything that I've done because I ain't got nothing to hide. I own the team. I own the name. We signed a contract for 1 year. There's not a league out there that have you sign multiple year contracts. Once your contract is over, you can go anywhere you want. You own the rights to your name. You own the copyrights. You own all that stuff. But everybody trying to be shady and say, okay, we're going to come over here, we're going to go over there. And next thing you know, you got one team in three leagues. That's funny. That's funny, that's funny, that's funny. Man up, woman up, say, hey, look, you know what? We're not happy here. Either we request this change or we gone. Ain't nothing you can do to hold me back. We signed a one-year contract to play with you. And this is I'm not carping on any one league. I'm talking about any league, yo. Any league out there. Any league. You signed a one-year deal. And that's part of the issue. And like I said, I start up stuff because I want to see it get resolved. If you don't want to have funny season, then guess what? Sign a team to a three-year contract. And that team is obligated for 3 years to be with you. Now you don't have to worry about at the end of the season who's leaving, who's jumping. You know, this is a business, you guys. That's how it's treated. It should be treated. It's not a hobby. And I think over the last 10 years, women's football has been treated as a hobby. And that's why you can get a $100 owner to start up a team. There's nothing wrong with a $100 owner. But I'm just throwing that out there as a number. Pick and choose what league they're in, and if they're not happy, they're gone. That's fine. But it needs some stability. Stability. You know, and I'm talking to you owners. You got to make that commitment. If you're going to be in XYZ league, then you need a commitment because you're a business partner of mine. And I'm speaking as a Las Vegas Showgirl, so I really don't care what league you're in, but I'm just trying to give you a clear-cut example. The Showgirls won't exist if there's no team to play. You know, it's like a relationship. The reason why people get married is for stability, that commitment. If you're a player out there, and that's what all 100 teams are out there, because every year you play by 1 year. But that's your first date. Let's just throw it in those terms. It's like going on one date. That's no commitment. I'm going to go on one date. I'm playing 1 year. That ain't commitment. You know, then date number two comes. That's year number two for football. But if you sign on a dotted line and say, hey, we're signing a 3-year commitment. And like I said, I think 3 years is a great commitment. It's not too long and it's not too short. You're committed to play 3 years in that league, like it or not. Once you finish your 3-year commitment, and you can always renew your commitment year in and year out, add a year on if you choose to. You know, it's just like an NBA contract. It's like an NFL contract. That's the next level of women's football. And I throw it out there because, again, I'm flattered if someone follows through with it. But, again, my job is to find out what's wrong with women's football and to repair it or to initiate the thought. Because it's not just me thinking this way. I'm just the one that's vocal. I talk about it. Everybody else is scared because they're scared of the fines and the repercussions and all the other good stuff that comes with opening your mouth. My thing is I just paid the fine. It ain't no big deal to me. Like, you fined me $100 here. Matter of fact, take $200 because I know I'm about to get fined again. You know, because it's a business to me. But without other business partners committed, I can't commit. My sponsors can't commit. So again, people ask, how come you ain't got sponsors for XYZ League? Well, there's no commitment. This year you got 50 teams. The next year you got 20 teams. The next year you got 32 teams. The next year you got... It's just inconsistency. That's what it is. That's what it is, yo. So again, do we want to elevate women's football? I see that we're doing it. Because, you know, I listen to the other shows. I listen to BJ and her show and some of the things that and Robin and everybody that's out there in the football world that talks, you know, Meg, everybody. The bottom line is consistency is what we all looking for. We're looking for a long-lasting relationship. That's what sponsors are looking for. They want a commitment. They want to know that XYZ League is going to be here next year or that the Las Vegas Showgirls are going to be here next year. Hell, we're 5 years into playing this game, and we still get the same questions from sponsors. Well, how long you been here? 5 years. Oh, that's a good business plan. How long you plan on being here? Forever. What league you going to be in? Well, we don't know. Right now, we're in this league. But if it falls apart, hell, we'll join another league. Hell, we'll start another league. We'll do whatever we got to do to continue to play. Because that's what we're here for, is to play. But again, I mean, this is a whole nother topic. But think about it. Each and every year, we call it funny season. I think Coach Penn called it funny season. Okay, who's on the jump ship? Who's going where? Who's coming? And all of a sudden, we go, ooh, and ah. Because this team left this league and went over there. And then that league had 3 teams leave and go to this league. And then 2 more teams jump back here. All we're doing is changing, exchanging. We're not being creative. You know, how many new teams actually have bubbled up? Think about it. How many new teams have bubbled up? I'm talking about new areas, new teams. Not recycled players, not recycled coaches, not recycled owners. But new teams. That's how you know if you're growing. When you're recycling things, you're doing nothing but shrinking it. You're shrinking it. Think about it. When you collect aluminum cans, you go out and collect 100 aluminum cans. How many aluminum cans can you make out of that 100? When you recycle, let's say you only can get 80. So now you recycle 80 cans. Then the next year, you go take those 80 cans in, and you're recycling. Now you got 55 cans made out of that 80. So again, all you're doing is shrinking. That's all we're doing. We're shrinking. But how many, you know, again, a lot of people didn't like Kathleen Masters. I love Kathleen Masters. Didn't like the way she handled things. But marketing-wise, I loved her to death. And I say that each and every time her name come up on my show. She saw a need to go to an area to help her league She put her money where her mouth was. She created a tryout. She put it in a newspaper and hoped and prayed that somebody would buy that team from her. That's how the NWSA started. That's how it grew. Because she put her money where her mouth was. In the long run, people got pissed and mad because she owned the team. Yes, that's a true owner of a league. That's an entrepreneur. A dictator. Nothing wrong with that either. But if you're an owner and you paid your franchise fees, you're the owner of the team, you go where you want to go. Because that was a big deal about when NWSA, when she left, was she still the creative owner of the actual individual teams that she started. Hey, this is a little history. This was her story. You know what I'm saying? This is things that we don't talk about. The reality. You know, I came into the WTFL with my name intact. She created. But when I decided to jump ship and leave, that's my business. I can do that. Al Davis, Los Angeles Rams, Oakland Raiders, Los Angeles Raiders, back to Oakland Raiders. NFL tried to stop him from moving. He owned that name. Actually, he bought it when they were AFL. He wasn't the original owner, but he was the owner. So, yes, owners have power. Owners have power. But the power, you got to commit it. So, get your league meetings next coming season. Sit down and talk about it. If you're truly in this for the right reason, to make this the right thing and move forward with football, commit. Stop giving me that BS excuse. You know, we got owners out there who just, you know, want to strictly be independent. I would love to be independent because I would be able to control how many home games I have, how many I would play a 20-game season. If it wasn't no restrictions on teams being in certain leagues, can't play certain teams, or if I wasn't on the blacklist. Yeah, I know I'm on the blacklist. I'm not worried about it. That's why I speak what I speak. But I don't give a darn about some kind of list. You know, some of you guys are scared to talk to me because I am on a blacklist. You might get fined if you talk to me. You might fine if you listen to the show. You might get fined if you email me. You know? Nobody has that much power to do that to you. My mama, who had me 39 years ago, can't tell me who my friends should be. So don't give me that. Okay? If you're confident in what you say, you're confident in your league, you're confident in your team, you don't worry about what else goes on around you. I don't. I don't care what's being said. I know what's going on in my circle. But the bottom line is this, commitment. You know, anything if you leave the show, it's commitment. We're not going to have a good league or leagues or one league or five leagues if there's no commitment. Teams should have the ability to go where they want to go play that works within their budget or whatever or their system. But you need to commit to that league that you're going to, jumping to, starting up with or whatever. Because if you don't have that commitment, you're doomed to fail. You're doomed to fail. Parallel. Marriage. No commitment. No everlasting love. As you can hear, my show has come to an end. I don't know where time goes when I start talking. I think some of the time minute guys out there take away a couple of my minutes when I'm talking. But I get on a rant, I get on a tear, but it's all for the love of women's football, yo. That's all I try to do. I'm going to bring up some controversial issues. You have the opportunity to call in and voice your opinion. Don't be scared. This is America, yo. Freedom of speech, freedom of press. That's what we do here for the Coach League. That's why my theme song is Public Enemy Number One. You know? If we don't talk about it, we won't be about it. We won't be about it, we won't be around. I'm here each and every Monday night, willing, dealing, and chilling, talking about women's football, some of the good, the bad, the ugly. You might not like it, you might love it, but it's the truth. That is coming from the heart. Knowledge of women's football. Hey, I'm out of here. I'm rolling. Hey, I'm on the government clock. I actually checked out an hour and a half ago, so I'm on my time. See you next week. Got your questions, concerns, always call in. You got the number. You got the station. You got the website. Tune in. I'm out. Peace.